Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Something look different up here? A little different? So we're doing new things here today at Peace. The pastor gets pied in the face, and there's a keg right up here. Oh my goodness, we're in trouble. Dear friends, don't fill it up to the brim. Maybe your parents told you that, or your grandparents. I taught that to my kids. That's where things can really get into some great trouble, when people fill things up to the brim. We were at a movie a couple of years ago, and I shared that as we were getting popcorn and soda. I shared with the girls. I said, it's not always good to fill everything up to the very brim. That's when trouble happens and there's disaster. And sure enough, right in front of us was a man who did the exact opposite. Everything that he purchased was filled to the brim. The hot dog that he got for the movie, it had ketchup on it. It had onions on top of that. It had relish. Filled to the brim was his hot dog. Then there was the popcorn, billowing over the side on one side, billowing over on the other side, dripping with butter. Maybe you've seen someone that does this with their popcorn. Filled over the top. And of course the soda too, it was filled up to the very top. He had the lid on top of that, but it was filled to the very top. And I thought to myself, this is the perfect time to teach the lesson. Don't fill it up to the brim. Surely a disaster is coming. Surely when the guy goes up to get his ticket and juggles the hot dog and popcorn and soda, that's when the disaster is going to happen. Nope, he made it through. It looked like he had done it before. It was really smooth how he did it. Balancing all those things and pulling out his ticket. Man, he was talented. Surely it's going to happen when he has to pull the door open to get into the theater to check out the movie. Nope, didn't happen then, because someone jumped out in front of him and opened the door for him, and he made it smoothly in. I was disappointed. I wanted to teach the lesson. But then it happened. It was awesome. I'm sorry to say this. He found his seat, and it was one of those things where just a little bit spilled on one side of the popcorn bucket, and then he overcorrected, trying to catch it, and it went all over the place, and in just a few seconds, the hot dog went flying in the air and landed on the floor. There was a teaching message, and sure enough, I said, that's what happens when you fill things up to the brim. You've probably taught that lesson. Your grandparents probably taught that to you as well. You know, the servants today in our gospel lesson, they didn't get the memo. Their grandparents didn't teach them very well, or their parents didn't, because they fill it up to the brim. We're talking about the wedding at Cana. These servants here that were commanded by Jesus to fill it up to the brim. And this was a Herculean task. I really want to give you a picture of what this actually was, because I think we miss it when we read the Gospels. We have a prop here, thanks to Nectar Creek. Now, there is nothing inside, okay? There's nothing inside, and so don't come searching out here after service. But what we have here is the servants filled up six of those stone water pots, the text says. Now this particular barrel holds about 55 gallons of water or mead. Nectar Creek gave this to me to borrow for today's sermon. The stone pots in today's gospel could hold up to 30 gallons of water. How did the servants fill to the brim? They weren't as large as this, but how did they fill these up? By the way, 30 gallons of wine or water would weigh, with those stone pots, would weigh about 275 pounds. That's heavy. How did they fill those up to the very brim? But did they grab the hose outside and pull it into the house and turn on the faucet? Nope, that technology wasn't at that point back in the day. Did they carry the pots down to the well in the middle of the city? No way. 275 pounds? No way could you have a donkey do this either. A donkey would tip over, the water would go pushing to one side or the other. This was a very difficult task. There's really only one explanation for how they filled up the barrel, the stone water pots. They took probably, one scholar estimates, probably 80 trips to the well with a 5-gallon container, down to the well and back, down to the well and back, down to the well. See, when we read the Gospels, we think all these things happen in an instant. They didn't. This happened probably over a couple of hours with hard work. These guys went to work and filled the container all the way to the top. Why did they do it? Well, there's a couple reasons for why they filled it up to the very top, to the very brim. First explanation is that this was a very embarrassing situation, actually. To throw a party and to not have wine would have been devastating. Now, there's one thing that hasn't changed from the first century all the way to the 21st century, and it's this. There's high expectations for weddings and how they go. In today's age, the two things that I've learned as a pastor that you can't mess up in a wedding is this. You can't mess up the sound, and you can't mess up the pictures. You're going to get in great trouble if you do those two things. Today is our 11th year anniversary today. Alicia and I were married in Muskegon, Michigan. Guess what two things were messed up in our wedding? The sound and the pictures. They were very grainy. Back in the first century, the one thing that you didn't want to mess up was actually not the sound, not the pictures. It was the wine. That's what threw things off. Weddings and celebrations in the first century took place over 5 or 6 days. People traveled from long distances to come to celebrate and to party and celebrate this couple that would be married. To have a wedding party and to run out of wine would have been a great shame to the couple. In fact, people around town in Cana, this was the event perhaps in the year in Cana, hey, everyone's going to the wedding. Are you going? See, if you ran out of what was in the barrel, out of wine, this would have been shameful. So for the first reason why they filled it up to the very brim is because Jesus told them to. They were run out of resources. They had no plans. They had to fix this very difficult situation. So they follow suit. And the servants fill it all the way up to the brim. But here's the real reason why they filled it up to the brim. The servants believed and had faith that Jesus could transform what was inside to something special. The wedding at Cana is different than all the other miracles in the Bible because it's not a miracle about quality. That's the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus multiplies and greater things come. The miracle at the wedding at Cana is about quality. The amount that was given to Jesus was transformed. It's about a transformation. I don't know much about transformation. I didn't get a great grade in chemistry, but I do know this. Water is a very plain element. There's really only two things in water, hydrogen and oxygen. You can find it pretty much anywhere. It doesn't take too much effort in today's age. But wine is different. Wine takes a lot of effort and a lot of thought to make. Wine consists of complex elements, tannins, acid, a whole bunch of things. Wine takes touching, tasting, blending, a whole bunch of activities need to go into this process, and it's very time-consuming. So I did this as I prepared my sermon, and please, if you're a wine enthusiast here, correct me if I'm off here. I called 4 wineries in the area, and I asked them, how long does it take to make wine, really good wine? How long does it take? One place answered 2 years. Does that surprise you? Another place answered it takes about 1.5 years. Another place answered 2 years. Now, when I asked this question, none of the wineries said, Jeremy, I'm going to tell you the process and how wine is developed. It was a secret, you see. It's a complicated thing. They didn't want to give out their secret recipe and how it's done. Wine is a challenge. And in these phone calls, I finally close them out with this question. Is it possible to have good wine after 3 days? You know the response that I got? They laughed at me. They laughed at me. Jesus transformed water into wine. What's the takeaway? Do you have something that needs to be transformed in your life? Jesus is here. He's not just off at Cana in Galilee. He's here. His body and blood is right here. His real presence. Is there something you need transformed in your life? In other words, are you carrying perhaps, you know, in a lot of ways we're like the servants. We're carrying a container, but our containers are not filled with water. They're filled with the worries and concerns that we have in life. Are you carrying a worry about the future? Are you carrying it with you wherever you go, from your workplace to church to over your relative, and just trying to act like it's not there or fix it yourself? Put it in the container. Fill it to the brim. Do you have a sin that's troubled you? That you've committed maybe in the past, it's a shameful thing, and instead of really dealing with it or figuring it out, you fixed it or come up with an explanation for it, put it in the container, fill it to the brim. Do you have pain and frustration in your life? And rather than dealing with it or being honest about it, you hold on to it. Fill the container. Fill this container over and over and over again. The servants did it 80 times, down to the well, put water in, brought it back 80 times, and you know what they did? They knew that Jesus could transform what they were bringing to him into something very special. You know what our fault is? Our fault is that all too often we don't put our hurts, our sins, our problems into the container and present them to Jesus, to transform them, whatever they are. Jesus can transform whatever we give him, whatever. When you come forward to Holy Communion, that's really what's going on. You're bringing your container filled with heartache, pain, sin, brokenness. You know, sometimes when you carry those things, you feel like the man with the popcorn hot dog and the soda. We carry them around, balancing them, trying to walk through life that we can handle it all by ourselves. But you know, when you come forward, you're presenting yourself to the master that was there at the wedding at Cana, and he has the power to transform what you bring, your worries, your hurts, your pains. And you know, when you leave this table, he transforms it into something sweet. You leave with a barrel full of mercy and grace and love. All the more we should brag about our sins and just place them into the container and give them to Jesus. He'll forgive us. This is power to change our lives. Big power. And here's the thing. The worst kind of life is not having a bunch of sins and broken relationships and tragedy in life. This is the worst life. The worst life is having sin, broken relationships, and tragedy, but not presenting it to Jesus. The best life is not perfection. That's not the best life. The best life is having our sin and problems and just presenting them to Jesus, and he changes them to sweet wine. And boy, does it taste good. You know, the old gospel hymn got it right. What a friend we have in Jesus. Do you know that song? It's my message this morning. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear, Jesus takes them. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we did not carry everything to Jesus in prayer. He got it right, the guy that wrote that. And that's the story of the wedding at Cana for you. You know, we oftentimes think with these miracles, that it's all about Jesus doing something amazing and we stand back and do nothing. That's not the wedding at Cana. These servants presented everything they had. They worked hard and gave the little that they had, this water, and Jesus transformed it. So let's do the same in our own life. Whatever the problem is, let's put it in the container, present it to Jesus, and he'll make it taste sweet. Amen. Let's pray about that today. Dear Jesus, we thank you for how your life and who you are impacts us each day, that you're by our side, that you can transform the things in us that are not so sweet, and you can change them so that they taste as sweet as wine. May that be the case, and may we look for your forgiveness and your love and mercy and be filled today as we leave this church, ready to be a sweet fragrance for you in our community. In Jesus' name, amen.